Blog Talk Radio.
But we are making a stand, and we're waking everybody up that 9/11 was an inside job. And you are the minority. You are the cowards who don't know the truth. You're the people that serve this evil system. You're the people that serve a system that hurts innocent men, women, and children. Not just Iraqis, not just Afghans, not just Africans, but the people right here in this nation. You serve a new world order that attacks and feeds on you. And I'm here to tell you that you will be defeated. Your hours are numbered. We've got the energy. We've got the life force. All you've got is evil backing you up. All you've got is greed and liking to look at yourself in the mirror. Because deep down, the New World Order is a pot-bellied, chicken-necked ninny. And all the armor and all the weapons are nothing. You are nothing compared to good. You are nothing compared to life. And you will be defeated. I want the individuals out there, I want free humanity to turn themselves loose, to cut the chains loose, and to use the end of that chain to slap the New World Order right upside the head. You've got the power. You want to know who can defeat the New World Order? It is you. You're the individuals that are going to be able to defeat this system. You're the individuals that are going to be able to take down the New World Order. It doesn't matter if Ron Paul wins. It doesn't matter if they rig the election. What matters is that we're starting to stand up. We're starting to move. We're starting to find our legs. We're starting to build our muscles. We're starting to realize that we do have power, and we can work together, and we can take action, and that the naysayers are a pack of weak liars who have never had any successes in their life and who are upset and frustrated to see us beginning to have victories against tyranny. They don't have any respect for themselves. They don't have any vision. And they don't have any will. And they sure don't have any of the power that shines out of God's soul and energizes all life in the universe. They have wed themselves to death. And they will crumble and they will fall. And for eternity, we wed ourselves to life. And everything good, and everything that
When a silent majority allows their nation to lose its common sense, that nation is lost, and you are allowing them to take your country away from you. Is it common sense to adore at the altar of multiculturalism? Read your world history. Not one nation has survived as a multiculture. It's the uniculture that is your strength. One country, one culture, one language. Is it common sense that 84% of the people want to make English the official language of America, but your majority political party espouses insanity, ignores the people, and says no? Is it common sense that 53 countries, mostly in Africa, have declared English to be their national language, and the party who declares we will unite you says press 2 for Spanish? Is it common sense to adopt your new national religion of diversity when the very word means disunity? We founded a country on similarities, not diversities. One country, one culture, one language. You cry out for unity, but is it common sense to continue to identify yourselves by your ethnicities and not your nationalism? White-America, Black-America, Chinese-America, Hispanic-American, Gay and Lesbian-American, the Black Caucus, the Hispanic Caucus, the Woman's Caucus. You want unity? Change your language. Isn't it time, once again, we all became just plain Americans? Or is that too much common sense? Is it your new common sense now to stand up and cheer when a presidential candidate wants to hand over the health care system to that same government who has run Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and 12 other entitlement programs into bankruptcy? A government bureaucracy who can't run a railroad, your airports, secure your borders, or find 15 to 20 million illegal aliens? That same government that allows Islamic women to take their driver's license picture wearing a neck scarf covering their face because it offends their belief. What's next? Allowing the Ku Klux Klan wearing their hoods? Is it common sense to bankrupt the American treasury? Fighting wars for countries whose silent majority won't fight for themselves? Your debt is now $9.4 trillion. Is it common sense to continue to give away $9 billion of taxpayer money to unfriendly countries in foreign aid, including $2 billion a year to Egypt, who votes against the United States 80% of the time in the United Nations? All this while your own inner cities crumble. 40% of your high school graduates can only read or write at a fourth grade level. You have to import people from China and India for your high-tech industry because you haven't got enough smart people in America. And New Orleans and the flood victims of Iowa continue to be forgotten. This is madness. Lay down your misplaced global burden and rebuild America first. You can't support the world while neglecting your own country. Are you unifying the country with common sense when both of your presidential candidates cry out, "We must show compassion for the 15 to 20 million invaders from south of your border"? But not one word of compassion for the overburdened American taxpayer who is forced to subsidize the invaders by paying over $250 billion of their hard-earned money to establish America as the welfare department of a failed, corrupt foreign country. Are you unifying your country with common sense by sending out your utility bills and your Social Security checks in Spanish? Legal and illegal immigrants have no incentive to learn your unifying language because you make it easy for them not to assimilate. How many of you write in big letters across that bill, "English only, please," and send it back? Stop bending over backwards to accommodate every other culture but your own. Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheist, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We called them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now. Join the grassroots movement of the second American Revolution, not of guns and violence, but pressure, pressure, pressure on your non-representing representatives who created these problems in the first place. This is the most important phone number in your democracy, the congressional switchboard. Pick up your phone every day, every hour if need be, and call your representatives and tell them in no uncertain language to listen to the silent majority or else be thrown out on their hindquarters. It's toll-free, and your taxes pay for it. Would you stand by and watch your family perish when you have the power to save them? Of course not. Then why are you doing that to your own country? 1-866-340-9281. Perhaps you allow all this destructive, uncommon sense out of a distorted notion of tolerance. Remember what Aristotle said, tolerance is the last virtue of a dying society. You are tolerating the behavior that is destroying you. This wine was once rich, highly desired and admired, but when you dilute it with enough water, it stops being anything. Take back America now. Choose to be part of the second American Revolution. Pressure, pressure, pressure. No presidential candidate, no political party can save you now. Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? My name is Joseph Gibson, Blog Talk Radio, Wednesday night, night before Thanksgiving. We were going to broadcast tomorrow night, but come on. Everyone's going to be busy. Well, most people I know, but those of you who are going to be sitting alone in your house doing nothing, then, you know, I don't know what to tell you. But most people are busy on Thanksgiving, especially around 6, 6:30. So we decided to move it up a day and broadcast on Wednesday at 6 p.m., a half an hour early, so I probably threw some people off. I usually broadcast at 6:30, but we know most people don't pay attention because I was expecting a few people to call in at 6, and, of course, they're not here. But tomorrow is Black Friday. Hey, Black Friday. Guess what? We get to kill each other over little trinkets. So we're going to play something that I played in the past. The Madness of a Lost Society is 3 minutes long. It addresses Black Friday.
You're watching The Madness of a Lost Society. November 26, 2010. Black Friday revealed yet further evidence of the complete madness of the populace of our lost society.
In case you didn't hear, the leaders of China and Russia.
China and Russia said that they are renouncing the dollar.
The best way to think of it is a ticking time bomb. At some stage, the dollar will fall sharply.
Now, you might be saying, Neil, what the heck does this mean to me?
As the dollar loses status as the world's reserve currency, as mystery missiles launch just off our shores, as North and South Korea take the world to the brink of war, as the TSA violates all measure of liberty and constitutional rights, and as the U.S. military itself prepares for the coming total economic collapse and breakdown of civil order, this is what Americans care about. Wanton, lustful commercialism, acting like animals fighting over trinkets made by human beings for slave wages. As you watch this horrific video, do you think any of these people own a single ounce of physical precious metal? Any gold? Any silver? Do you think that even one of them understands what the Federal Reserve is, or that the Fed is spending them into oblivion and economic slavery? Do you think even one among them has made any preparations at all for the day when there is no food on grocery store shelves? And do you think the morally bankrupt executives at Target or Walmart even care? This is what we've become. A decadent, mindless culture who, by virtue of this complete and willful ignorance, are now officially complicit in the crimes being perpetrated against us. Do you think these people who behave like animals, literally trampling each other over $198 laptops and $10 toasters, will even pause for a moment to consider their actions before they riot and burn entire cities when the days of hyperinflation finally arrive? When the grocery stores are bare? When they are truly desperate? This, my friends, is what a dumbed-down, morally bankrupt, completely broken society looks like, and this is how it behaves. No outrage over the bankers raping them. No outrage over their gutted industry. No outrage over their plundered dollar. Just blind, wanton stupidity. Just bread and circuses. The elite are social Darwinists, and they believe what they can get away with is fair game as long as we allow it. This is social engineering, and they've done it to us by design. They've turned us into animals that they can corral. We are no longer citizens in a republic safeguarded by our elected representatives. We are consumers feeding at a corporate trough managed by officials.
Will you tell the American people to whom you lent $2.2 trillion of their dollars?
Hundreds and hundreds of banks, any bank or that has access to the U.S. Federal Reserve System.
Tell us who they are.
No.
If this is America, who will stop them? Our entire system is corrupt and needs to be dismantled and begun anew. But from what base? If what happened on Friday across America is any indication of the condition of the American populace, then our very foundations are built of sand. May God forgive us for what we've become and for what we've allowed to happen to our nation. And may those of us with the courage and sense to do it renounce this behavior and the monstrous marketing ploy that is Black Friday in its entirety. This, my friends, is not us. We are the Republic. We are the informed. We are the proactive ones. And it is our job to lift up those who are lost. And saving our Republic is a full-time job. May God bless the Republic.
All right. Well, we played that because tomorrow's Black Friday. And, you know, you need to take a lesson because a lot of you out there complain, no matter what age you are, whether you're older or younger. The younger ones, you know, they're out in high school and, you know, they're breaking up with their girlfriends and boyfriends and they're having problems in school and they're not taught anything. Well, what you got in society? What do you think you got? You think you can't trust your own friend nowadays? They'll stab you in the back for a $5 bill? I mean, you know, come on. What do you got? You know, and then the older generation, well, you know, you're all on prescription drugs. The doctors are killing you slowly. I mean, you know, the doctors got you coming back every week. you know, treating your symptoms but not curing them, because a doctor is not going to cure you. You know, I used to tell people when I was landscaping, do you think I would tell my customers how not to grow their grass? Do you think so I wouldn't be able to cut it next week? No, of course not. So do you think a doctor is going to cure you of your sickness and ailment? No, of course not. He's going to put you on a pill, or sometimes two pills, three pills, four pills, five pills, 20 pills, some people. And you got to take them all like clockwork. And those are just going to keep you going long enough so you can get just old enough so you become so brittle and sick that you can't do nothing but sit there in your chair all day long and complain. Hey, the madness of a lost society. That's us. What do you say? Dumbed down, morally corrupt. Right? And, you know, I feel sorry for a lot of people because, you know, they're like, well, what can you do about it? You can't do anything. What are you going to do? You know? Well, there's a million answers to that question. A million. What can you do? First of all, stop making excuses. Stop lying. You know, for instance, when I, you know, ran a landscaping business, I don't want to hear your mother died three times this year. You know, I don't want to hear your grandmother passed away seven times. You know, because everyone's a liar and they're so full of crap and all they care about is it themselves. And they have next week's paycheck spent before they even made it this week. So that if next week's paycheck don't come, it's a freaking emergency. You're all panicking. You know, think about it. Just think about it. People say, well, yeah, that's easy for you to say, blah, 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 whatever. You know, you're in this situation. I'm in this situation. Yeah, well, whatever. Everyone makes their own bed. You lie in it. So how you make it and when you make it is up to you. That's nothing but excuses. All right? I've been at the bottom of the barrel. I've been in the worst places known to mankind. All right? And I've also worked my ass off since the age of 13 when I had to. And there's people on the phone line tonight who can verify that. All right? When I had summer vacation in school, I did not lay around and go to keg parties and have fun or go play basketball or wrestle with my friends in the woods. I went out on a farm and worked in 90-degree heat. And I enjoyed it. Do you? No. Because let me tell you something. I ran a landscaping business here in North Carolina. And I know for a fact every single employee I had was really good for nothing. Really. Well, you know, sometimes I call them maggots, but maggots serve a purpose. They served no purpose. Okay? Like I said, I'd get phone calls at 7 o'clock in the morning. Oh, my mom died yesterday. Oh, no. You know, this is the third time their mother died, by the way. You know, or their grandmother or their aunt or uncle. My aunt passed away last night. Oh, you know. And then they call me 6 months later. I need off. I need off for 2 days. My aunt passed away again. You know, I thought your aunt died last 2 months ago. You know, it's just everyone's full of crap. Can anyone tell the truth? I mean, we all lie. I've told lies, too. But, I mean, for goodness sake, I didn't wake up in the morning on the farm and, you know, and say, hey, I don't want to get out there and help you to my aunt and uncle. You know, I want to sleep in today. No. It felt good to get out there and go to work. And then other people, you know, like I told you, I hired a kid one time. It was about 5 years ago. He was about... I think it was 19 or 20 years old, dropped him off on a job. I think I told this story before. There's about 20 shrubs around this house, you know, bushes. It's about, you know, a good 1 to 2, 3 hours worth of work. You know, cut them, clean it up, bag it up, and, you know, get ready for me to come back after 3 hours. He's sitting underneath a tree. I was throwing up. It's too hot out here. I can't do this. Two bushes trimmed. In 3 hours, two bushes. I said, what the hell's wrong with you? He goes, I'm sick. I can't take it. I can't. It's too hot. This job's not for me. I ragged his ass the whole way back to my house. You're a pussy. You're a weak punk. You are disgusting. I almost had him in tears. Here's your $20 bill for the day. Get the hell out of here. Go buy your six-pack. You're not worth nothing, you know? And the thing, and then I seen him with his father at the feed shop when I was picking up supplies. You know, I think it was a couple months later. Yeah, you got some nerve calling, saying that. Ah, shut up. Who are you? You're his father? You should be ashamed how you raised your son. What? Two, if he raised his son that way, you know he's not going to do anything. All he's going to do is run his mouth. But the point of it is, what I'm trying to say is like this video here that we just played, or this, you didn't see the video, but you heard the audio. We live in a weak, morally dumbed-down society. Fact. Fact. But I've got someone who's going to call in today, and this individual, actually, I do know personally, and he's a good person, and recently he's been laid off. And I know I get a lot of people who do listen in Greensboro, Eden. Remember, we had Daryl Anderson on from Eden, North Carolina. And we have several people from Reedsville who do listen, who are friends of mine. So I'm going to go ahead and connect them. His name is Brad. And I'm going to put him through right now. Hey, Brad, how you doing? This is Joe. How you doing? You're live on the air.
What's up, Joe? How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. Brad, you know, you've been in some tough times, and you know what? This is Thanksgiving, and that's why I invited you on, okay? You got to watch your background noise, though. If there's any background noise, it's really bad. Recently what happened to you is you're an electrician by trade, and you recently got laid off through the holidays because these big companies, they don't care about you. They don't care about anybody. So, you know, basically, you're out there looking for work, and if there's anyone out there who, or anything, actually, because you're a jack of all trades, you know mechanic skills, you know landscaping, I mean, can you tell some of my listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, I just had a birthday pass, and I had to spend it, well, at least I had off from work, right, looking on the blind side, but, yeah, I've lived in Greensboro my whole life, Summerfield, about the same area, just in the county. And, you know, I've been an electrician for about 17 years, but I've always been a handyman. I can fix anything, have a passion for it, you know. And, you know, I run around with the bad crowd when I was younger or whatever. But nowadays, you know, I got a family. I got a 4-year-old and a wife at home and just, you know, trying to keep the lights on, food on the table and all that. And, you know, of course, yeah, like you said, that these companies, they don't give a crap about you. And they proved that with what had just happened. They gonna lay me off the week right before Thanksgiving. So, therefore, I can't find any work right off the gate because everybody else is going out for Thanksgiving and everything. So they just basically stuck it to me. You know,
that's true. That's true. That's right, Brad. And I'm glad you know, reflected on my point that I made. And you said that you're a jack of all trades. So listen, if there's someone, and this show, Brad, is archived, and I have hooked a couple people up with, well, one person up with work through this show. And there has been people who, I told you, hey, call in. There's a couple people that listen. Word of mouth. Yay, word of mouth, especially here in the South, is big. And maybe someone will listen. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Brad is a very hard worker. I will give him credit. He did work for me part-time several seasons. And I will tell you, he was a very good, honest worker. Doesn't steal, shows up on time, and does what he's told. So I will give you the credit there, Brad. I mean, if there's anything else you want to say, by all means, because I know you're out and about. And I just want to give you that opportunity. And I know you support the show, but like you said, you've fallen on hard times. So, you know, if there's anything else you want to say, by all means, or if you've got a phone number you want to give out, you can go ahead and do it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I'm a man of God and everything, and I keep in my faith in the Lord. I've been through some things in my life that most people would have given up on. And that's kind of, you know, what happened here, like with everything I told you with me being laid off and everything like that. Not to mention, yesterday, the dog that we had, my wife had for about 6 years altogether with me, and when she got her, passed away yesterday, and I had to bury her after I got off last night.
Oh, my Lord, really? Really? I didn't know that. Yeah. Wow. And that was your family dog. And there's some people on here who raise dogs who know what that's like. When you lose a dog, it's like losing a family member, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's crushed her. I mean, she's doing okay now, as long as she's not constantly reminded of it. But she, from last night and this morning, she got up, her face was swollen, like her eyes and nose and everything, from just crying so much. I mean, she's got a very sensitive heart and very sensitive spot for animals. I mean, even in, like, a movie, she will get hit. It, you know, she hates it.
I know. I'm sorry to hear that about your dog. That's too bad. Like I said, I know Brad personally, and, you know, that's a shame. I didn't know that. That's too bad. That's too bad, man. And there are people here who are listening who I know who they're not in the state of North Carolina, but they treat their dogs like family. And when they lose a dog, trust me, it's the end of the world for a long time. But, Brad, go ahead, Brad. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's fine. I was just going to say, you know, I loved her dearly, too. It affected me as well, but, you know, I am the man, so I got to be strong, especially for her. So, you know, I mean, I'm able to deal with it a little bit better, and, you know, I got to, you know, just move on and everything. Eventually, she says she ain't ready for another dog. She's had a lot of them die, and, you know, and she's just not going to want to get another, but eventually she'll, you know, I'll surprise her with one, you know. But
I understand.
You were saying earlier my phone number. Yeah, if anybody, it looks as if, Joe, honestly, on the 7th of December, which is, at, you know, right before my rent's due, so even if I do land this job, which it seems like I will, at Star Electric, that's still not going to help. I need something between now and then because my rent will be due days later from that, and, of course, I'm not going to get paid right away. They usually hold back a week everywhere you work. So as of right now, I just anything. But
give your number up. Yeah, give your number, Brad. Say it a couple times, and the show's archived. Hey, maybe there's somebody out there. They'll give you a call and say, hey, can you come do this for me? Can you come cut down a tree for me? Can you do this? You know, you never know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my number's 336-686-9259. Again, that's 336-686-9259. You can reach me anytime.
All right, Brad. Hey, I appreciate you. Hey, Brad, I appreciate you calling in, man. And, you know, you're a man of your word. Like I said, I told him call in, what time to call in. He did what I asked him of. And I know he's out doing things, and he's out and about because it's Thanksgiving, and he's got a family to provide for. But, Brad, if there's anything else, I'll go ahead and let you go. What, you got anything else?
No, but just a word to the wise and everyone else. I hope you got your Thanksgiving shopping done. I just went up to the food line down the street from me by the Cardinal on Fleming, and it's never much going on there, but it is a freaking riot out there now.
That's right. And like I mentioned about Black Friday, stay the hell out of Walmart, Target, and all the malls. You know what? Stay home where it's safe, right?
I'd love take advantage of deals.
Hey Brad, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. And this show is archived. I'm telling you right now. You may get calls 6 months from now. You never know. So I remember, like I said, I did hook someone else up with a job who called in. So you know, good luck to you. And hey, keep in touch with me, okay?
I will, brother. I appreciate it, and support your show.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Brad. God bless. Take care. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
And to you.
All right, folks, that was Brad. Just muted him right there, and that was Brad who was tuned in. And, you know, hey, he's a young kid. He's got a wife and a child to support. And, you know, hey, there's someone out there who can help him out or give him a job. He is an electrician, and he'll work under the table for you. I probably shouldn't say that, but, you know, hey. You know, you get these big companies out there that are going to charge you $100 an hour, you know, for a $20 job or a $40 job. You know, that's what you want to do. You want to call these types of guys out there, the jack-of-all-trade guys, the handymen, the guys who are out there trying to hustle and feed their family because these companies discriminate, you know, or they're going to hire a Mexican or something other than that. I mean, like I said, a lot of the Americans out there today ain't worth a damn. But there are good people out there. They're real, you know, there is good people. Just because I gave a few bad examples about the people I came in contact with, and we all know the younger generation today isn't really worth a damn, but there are some good people out there who are, you know, willing to give it their all and do the right thing. So, hey, I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. If you're thankful for something this year, if you want to, you know, say hello to somebody, or, you know, or give a suggestion, or just tell everyone out there what you're thankful for, or if you want to talk about the show in general, whatever it is, I'm going to put the number out there. It's 573-83-0616. And you need to call in and participate and just say hi or talk about what you're thankful for. I mean, I really would appreciate it. If not, like I said, don't wait till the last 10 minutes of the show and then call in and tie me up. So I got one already, so we're going to go ahead and put them through. This is Joe in Meriden. Go ahead. How you doing?
Yeah, this is Joe in Meriden, as you say. I just thought I'd call in and talk about the show. Nothing in particular. But, you know, you were talking about Black Friday. I happened to be watching TV today. I don't know for what. Maybe I was doing something else and I just changed the channel. But there's a store here in Connecticut. They're giving away $1 million to a lucky shopper. Can you imagine that? To even make that claim. $1 million. Just shows you the money they're actually making, I guess, huh?
I thought the state of Connecticut was broke.
Well, this is a store in Connecticut. I don't know.
It's a store.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a sporting goods store, to tell you the truth, but I don't know. I just happened to catch it out of the corner of my eye. I don't watch TV during the day generally, so I don't know what I was doing, but I seen it. Oh, I know. It was 5:30 this morning, and I was out in the garage, and I had to rehook up my cables and everything for the TV and the internet, and I turned the TV on to make sure it worked. That's what it was, and the advertisement came on.
All right. Well. Anything else you want to say, Joe?
There's a lot I want to say. You know, most people think that they wake up and they go to work and everything, and they're going to have it made. And generally, that's the truth. You can just about get by. You know, you go to work, you get paid, you come home, the money's spent, and you do it every single day. And you come to find out as soon as you get laid off or something goes wrong, you can't make it till next week. And that's the way most people are. They've already spent that next paycheck, and when something goes wrong, they don't know what to do. So just like I was telling John weeks ago, trying to help him out, you need to find something else to provide income from home. Do it, you know, I can't say do it on the down low, but, you know, don't do it illegally, but, you know, if it's a hobby, it's a hobby. If it's a business, it's a business. You just do what you can. Everything is a hobby to begin with, I guess. So that's the way you do it. You know, don't try to, get away from doing the legal thing and paying your fair share. But everything is a hobby to begin with. And as far as the IRS is concerned, if your intention is to make a profit, then it's a business. If your intention is not to make a profit, then it's considered a hobby.
And that's right. And if the IRS wants you, let me tell you something right now. You can hide in a tree in the Amazon jungle, and they'll find you.
That's right. But we can't find those guys in Syria.
No, that's right.
That brings me up to another point. You know, Obama, he conducted a raid over there with it was an Army colonel in charge, Stephen Warren. They had a convoy of fuel trucks that ISIS had over there. And he was sent over there to blow them up. So what Obama had them do is fly over and drop leaflets telling the people to get the hell out of there because we're going to be bombing here soon. And they went back to bomb and blow up the convoy of trucks. but they didn't give him enough ammunition to do the job.
Oh, my Lord. That's America. That's America.
No, this is that thing in the White House. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. Abomination.
I told you before, you don't know what side he's really on, but it's becoming quite apparent that he's not on my side.
Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. I got a show idea also. I'd like to always take like a vote. And all the callers that call in, I'm not just going to click on phone numbers. I don't like to disrespect people. But I want people, I want to conduct my own poll or my own election here. And I really do. And you know what I want to do too, live on the air, not tonight, but in the next week or two since it's election season, I'm going to call people that are on the Republican and Democrat voting list, because you're allowed to call those people, and it's public information. And I'm going to call them live on the air and say, who are you voting for? And I'm going to keep track. And we're going to do that and see who is going to be the majority winner here, and, you know, while I do that on this show. Like, for instance, I'm going to call, say, 336, blah, 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 and I'm going to say, how you doing? It's Blog Talk Radio. Who are you supporting this year in the election? And they're going to tell us, Rand Paul, Trump, Hillary, or whatever. And I'm going to keep a scorecard.
Yeah, just don't advertise their phone number on here, that's all.
No, but it's public information. When you register to vote, it's all that's why they get solicited all the time. Like, for instance, when you register to vote or if you sign up for a candidate or donate to a candidate, you get bombarded with phone calls and emails. So I already looked into it. So, yeah,
okay.
So I'm able to have access to their number through the Freedom of Information Act or, you know, in general. But anyway, I got Mike that wants to check in. I don't want to have him hold too long, but I'm going to connect him. Go ahead, Mike. How you doing? Mike from Wisconsin.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Joe. This is Joe. Hello to everybody, actually. Before I get into anything, I'd like to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. And,
gobble, gobble.
You know, yeah. And, you know, if you think about it, you know, we don't know what we're really thankful for. You know, just because your buddy has a new iPod, you know, or as a new PlayStation or a new gadget that you don't have, you know, life isn't ending. You know, years ago when none of this mechanical stuff was even invented, I mean, you know, the people, they made their own entertainment. You know, what would this generation do if all of a sudden, you know, their iPods didn't work or their cell phones didn't work or anything like that? I mean,
oh, it's the end of the world, Mike. It's the end of the world. You go to these Sprint or Verizon repair shops and you see people walking in there crying practically, you know, because they got to get their cell phone fixed right away because they're missing text messages, you know? I mean, it's horrendous.
Well, I guess what I was trying to get to is, you know, everybody's thankful for something. You know, and if you're thankful that, you know, you have this little gadget in your hand and you know, it's kind of glued to it and, you know, you can't get away from it, well, I guess at least you're thankful for something, you know?
Sure.
I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is, you know, Thanksgiving is here and, you know, people don't really give thanks, you know.
No, they don't. And I was talking about that earlier today with my family. You know, look, Thanksgiving's about sitting down at the table, having a great meal together, and being thankful for the people that you have in your life at that time, and being thankful for what the pilgrims came over here, you know, to this land, the land on the Mayflower, what have you, whatever history wants to record. But it obviously did happen some sort of way, as I am talking about or saying. And the Indians were here, and they all got along, and eventually they didn't, and what have you. But they were thankful at that time, and that's where Thanksgiving originated from. So we can take it as we want. But you see how society today tries to alter the Thanksgiving holiday? For instance, I'm out shopping today. It's Happy Holidays. They are not allowed to say Thanksgiving. They're not allowed to say Merry Christmas. They're not allowed to say Happy Thanksgiving, sir. They have to say Happy Holidays, because it may offend the next man. You know, and that's what's disgusting about this country today. Now, I'm thankful for what I have and the people that I have in my life. I'm thankful for the supporters of this show that call in to make this show happen. We have new callers calling in, it seems like, every week now. We just had Brad. He's a new supporter of the show now, and I told him, hey, I'll help you out. And he called in earlier, so now he's going to be a listener and a supporter of the show. We had John. We had my niece Savannah call in. She was supposed to be listening tonight. She's not. But she was supposed to be listening, and I've got you, Mike. I got Joe and Meredith. I got Debbie Lewis in Reidsville or Eden, and I've got Bridget in Reidsville. I got Joe down in Sebastian, Florida. So, hey, we got a good support network here, and we're starting to grow. So, you know, I'm thankful for that. But like you said, Mike, people are not analyzing what they should be thankful for. You know what it is a day off for work for some people, and that's all they care about, so they can stuff their fat face. You know?
A paid day off.
But, you know, if I think back, you know, when you were a little boy, Joe, and, you know, my wife and I used to come over to your place for Thanksgiving, you know, and your mother and your father there put on a big spread and everything else, and you know, we always had enough to eat, and, you know, we all had a good time.
I remember that. I remember that. Yeah, Mike, I remember that when I was a kid. Yeah, we had your father. We had your father there. We had my great-grandparents there. We had Elizabeth Rondo from Yalesville there. We all had a great time. Remember when Betty there in Wallingford would have the spread in the basement in the cellar of her house on Church Street? And we had the whole family there. Everybody got along, you know. But today, nobody gets along. And I'm not trying to throw this in anybody's face, but what does the Bible say in the end days? Brother against brother, mother against daughter, son against father in the end days. Nobody's going to get along. We're all going to be fighting with each other.
And that's why there's no more anymore, because nobody gets along, because everybody's broken up. Everyone's went their separate ways. And there is no more family around to invite, and no one will speak up.
That's right. That's right. That's what I've done with this show.
Well, just like when I was on the farm, and, you know, Joey, you were out there with me, and you know, we worked hard. We really did. And, you know, we come in for supper or we come in for lunch. Granted, we didn't eat around a table. You know, but we all ate in the same room, you know, and, you know, it was, you know, I'm speaking that, you know, you can have whatever you want. I didn't care. I didn't care if you drank a gallon of milk a day. It didn't matter to me, you know. I guess I had a policy that I got from my grandmother's. And great grandmothers was, you can take what you want, but eat what you take.
That's right. That's absolutely correct. But you see, I believe those were the years that the family began. Hey, in the early 90s, I believe that's when everyone dissipated and went their separate ways. And I'm sure Elizabeth Rondo in Wallingford, she pressed one. She wanted to get through. She just hung up again, so I don't know what she's doing. All you have to do is press one time, and there, she pressed one. Hang on and wait, and I will connect you. I know you're listening, but let me get back to my point. We had, you know, Joe in Florida. He was part of the family. He's part of the family. He is part of the family. We all got along back then, but what happens today? What has happened? Well, I just told you a fact, what the Bible says, and prophecy has come true. Today, it's mother against daughter, brother against brother, daughter against mother, father against son. Nobody is getting along. Everybody's ready to rip each other's throat out, you know, and it's disgusting. It really is, and that's what's happened. And I've asked my niece to call in because she said she conversed with Alex tonight. Alex is my nephew. and he's having his graduation this week from the United States Army. So, Savannah, if you're on the line, you have to press 1, and I'll connect you. If you don't want to talk, I understand, but if you press 1, I'll connect you, okay? All right, she pressed 1, and because I want to hear about Alex and how he's doing. And Alex was a guest on this show, and we saw him off, you know, and he did the last show the night before he went off to the Army. He did a show, and I got to tell you something. The way he talks now is not the way you remember. And Alex is my nephew, and he's now in Georgia, I believe. I don't know. We'll ask Savannah. She's on the line right now, so I'm going to put her through. So Savannah in Wallingford, Connecticut. I got you right
Hi,
now. Hey, Savannah. How you doing? So you said you talked to Alex tonight. How's he doing? Is he excited about his graduation?
I mean, like, he was pretty excited, but now he's, like, really upset because everyone else has, like, family there, and he's the only one without, like, family.
Are you serious? Well, his dad is coming down there, and you're coming down there, and Dawn is coming down there, correct?
Yeah, but, like, there's a ceremony tomorrow, and our flight, like, we won't be landing until after it's over. So my mom was supposed to be there, but now she's not going.
Yeah, we know about that, Savannah. We're not going to talk about that on the airwaves, but that is quite disgusting. You're absolutely correct. And you said he's upset. Here's a kid who has, you know, came from a broken home, obviously, graduated high school, and now is doing something with his life. And what am I talking about? Family tonight. And where is his family? Nowhere to be found. So, you know, and here is his sister on the live show tonight, breaking it down to us, who says that, hey, he's a little distraught because his family's not there, because we have, you know, basically a lot of idiots in our family. And it's disgusting. It really is. And Savannah, you need to tell Alex, he can call me, and, you know, me and him hung out for the last 2 weeks that he was, you know, before he entered the Army, and he and I had a really great time, and like I said, he came onto this show, and there's some of you out there may not know who he is, but some of you do know, and we talked about a lot about him entering into the Army, and he's doing really well in there. He sent us pictures, and everyone's quite proud of him, but yet, where is everybody, you know? And Savannah, when are you leaving to go to Georgia?
When?
Yes, when?
Tomorrow at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow. You need to get in bed, get some rest. 4 o'clock in the morning. My goodness, you're flying down there, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's good. It's you and your dad. Well, when you get down there, you make sure you let Alex know, or if you have any contact with him again tonight, let him know that we talked about him. And I wish he would have called into the show because I sent him a message. He may not have gotten it, to call into the show and give us an update how his Army training is going. But listen, Savannah just made a very great point, and I'm putting it out there about my own very own family. Where is everyone? You know, here's a kid that's done more than most people in our family, including me, okay? And, you know, look where I've been. He has done more in our family in this generation than anyone else, and he has no support. No support network, no support system. So I say that everyone should be ashamed of themselves. That's what I say. But, Savannah, I appreciate you calling in. And so you're flying. So during Thanksgiving, you're going to be on a plane. Are you guys going to have, a Thanksgiving dinner down there on the base?
I don't know. I think we're just going to go out to eat.
You're going to go out to eat? Yeah, because there's probably no place for you to cook a turkey down there. You're going to be on an Army base. But, hey, listen, have a safe flight, okay? And thanks for calling in tonight. I really appreciate it. And if you make contact with Alex, tell him to call me, okay?
Okay.
All right, thanks, Savannah. Savannah from Wallingford, Connecticut. I appreciate you
checking
in tonight. Thank you.
Bye.
Well, I have Elizabeth Rondo in Wallingford who wants to check in night before Thanksgiving, so we'll put her on. I hope everybody checks in tonight. It'd be really nice. Go ahead, Granny, you're on the air.
Hi, Betty.
Hi, Joe. Is Mike still on?
Yes, Mike's still on.
Okay. Hey, Mike, you maybe you don't remember, or maybe you do remember, when your brother Joe lived on Church Street. We had a Christmas day there, but the night before, we had pulled names out of the hat. We used to call them, and whoever's name we pulled out, we would buy them a gift. And I still have it. It's in the same box. You and Melody bought me the 3-tier candy dish. I still have it. It's right here in my cupboard.
Wow.
Wow.
I know Melody. I know Melody.
Everything. You don't remember?
No, I do. I remember.
So
you do? It's still in the same box, and it separates different candies, and I still have that. It's right here in my kitchen in the shelf.
Wow.
That's
almost over 25 years.
I was going to say, that's almost a miracle.
Yeah, that's right. It has no candy in it, but boy, it's in the box.
That's great. Wow.
That's amazing.
You know,
wow.
Nowadays, people don't cherish anything, you know.
But it wasn't like now. I mean, nowadays it's entirely different than what we did years ago.
Yeah, that's got to be over 30 years ago.
Yeah, that's right, Joe. You're right, because let's see. Justin wasn't even born. You just had Bridget and Joey and Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. That's correct. That's over 30 years ago. Wow. But you see, you can remember stuff like that. Granny, what do you think about what Savannah said? You know, Alice is down there in Georgia. Look, you're in no condition to go to Georgia. We know that. But, you know, everyone else has their family there, and where's his family at? So what do you think about the generation today? Isn't that disgusting?
That's right. Yep, that is, Joe. Yeah.
It is. It is. It's despicable. And you and I talked about that personally, and we're not going to talk about that, you know, live in the open. But Savannah brought it up, and that's brave of her to do that in front of everybody. It really is. Because it brings an attention. Because if there is people out there listening, you know what, and you got family out there, and you're not paying attention to them, you know what that does to the younger generation in their minds? So don't blame them when they're 30 years old robbing and stealing from you, okay?
Yeah.
Because you weren't there when they were younger.
That's
you know?
Right, yeah.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting. It really is. But, hey, if there's anyone else out there who wants to contribute, by all means, go ahead. It's good that we brought this on the open. I should have called this family night.
Right?
It wasn't supposed to be that way. But, I got another family member on the line, so we'll put them through. That's Debbie in Reidsville, North Carolina. Go ahead.
Hey, Joe. I just wanted to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving because I'm at work. And I think it's terrible about Alex being there by himself. I thought
right.
his mom
oh,
was
yeah.
supposed to be there.
She was supposed
That's
to
terrible.
Be there. She was. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was given funds. She was given funds to make the trip and never went. Disgusting.
That's sad.
Yeah. Disgusting. So
well,
those
Savvy,
of you
Savannah,
who enable her, yeah, go ahead.
Savannah, if you're still listening, tell them that Grammy loves them and happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, she's
I don't know
listening
if Savvy's still on. Okay.
Yeah, no,
okay,
she's listening,
okay.
But I can only have so many live people on the line.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, Joe, you're going to have to take me back off because I am at work. I'll just continue listening, but I wanted to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy
All
Thanksgiving.
Right, thank you.
And don't forget, Joe, 2 o'clock dinner.
All right. See you later. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Well, that's one person that shared. I wish everyone who was on the we got about 10 family members on the line. So I think everyone that's going to contribute has thus far. So if there's anything else, hey, by all means, say your say, and we'll start wrapping it up for tonight. We've done our hour. I always like to broadcast for the hour. And I go 90 minutes if something special happens. But if there's anything else people want to share, by all means, go ahead.
Well, if I had a way to get there, I'd be there, but I don't.
No, I understand. And you know what? You helped out enough people, and we know the story. You don't have to get into it. You know? And it's pretty disgusting. It's sad.
Has Connecticut gotten any snow yet?
No. I think it was like 21 here yesterday morning or this morning or something, but no snow.
I know Joe down in Florida is enjoying that 80-degree weather. He told me when he was on the phone with me. We need to get here and have Thanksgiving dinner.
But 70s and 80s down there in the wintertime is cold for them because it's not the same kind of 70s or 80s that you get in the summertime.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
The winter down there is really nice. It's low humidities, you know, and, you know. Well, from somebody being from Wisconsin, it's actually hot. We had that storm go through 2-3 days ago. We got 12 to 13 inches out of it.
Wow.
And, yeah. And
Hey, I cut my lawn. I was getting ready to cut my lawn yesterday, Mike.
we got out a shovel and tried to find ours.
Yeah, see, but like up in the northeast, north of Connecticut and out in Wisconsin, you have a place to put the snow. In Connecticut, we don't. I mean, we could handle a foot, but when it keeps coming, it just builds up and there's no place to put it.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
True.
Just like on Orchard Street, you had what? A three foot path between the homes and... You know, that's where you
had remember the big snowstorms, Mike? Remember the big snowstorms at Nana's house? It was just, he had no place to put the snow because you had the next door neighbors. They couldn't throw it in their driveway.
Yeah.
So what were you going to do, you know?
But before the dog drove the car down the driveway, that was a much bigger piece of grass.
Yeah, that dog should have been in Guinness, you know?
Yeah. But anyway, that's great that everybody checked in tonight. Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. And like I said, we need to all go down to the Florida relatives and go eat Thanksgiving down there so we can and get a suntan because I don't like the cold weather. I can't stand it. And here in North Carolina, every year it's getting colder and colder, and I can't stand it.
I hate the cold. It's just... I just don't have
Mike, you're in the wrong
choice.
Place. You're in the worst place.
Canada's bringing in 25,000 from Syria, and so you know what they're going to think of Canadian weather. So you know where they'll be going.
Yeah,
this way.
That's right.
They'll be just like the geese. They'll be flying south.
That's right.
Did you know as of yesterday, 16 states are refusing to take any? That's over 30%. Those are the only ones that said they're not. There's probably a lot more.
Listen, I got Bridget from Reidsville who wants to call in. She hasn't called in a while, so we'll put her on. That's why I want to interrupt. But go ahead, Bridget, you're on.
Hi, Bridget.
Hello. This is Bridget from Reidsville, North Carolina. I just wanted to call and check in. I don't really have anything specific to talk about because I'm not really up on the current events. I've been kind of busy, but I just wanted to call in because since I haven't in a while.
All right. You want to wish everybody a Thanksgiving, I guess.
Yeah, I just wanted to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Bridget.
I'm not up on the current events because I've been kind of, you know, I'm not able to really keep up to date on that lately, but I knew there were some people on here that were probably like here for me. So
gobble, gobble.
I'd call in.
Yeah, no, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you and Joe and
you're welcome.
The new additions. And, you know, hope you guys have a good time tomorrow.
Yeah.
And also, Bridget, Joe and Sebastian Florida, I forgot to tell you, he wished us, he said congratulations. For a little Noah and everything. So, you know, I forgot to tell you that, but I wanted to say it because I know he's listening. So that's why I just wanted to say that. And actually, he's pressed one, so I'm gonna put him on real quick because he wants to contribute, and that's great. So everybody, every family member contributed tonight, so that's great. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
hi, Joe, and everybody there, and happy Thanksgiving to everyone. by golly, you know, when everybody talking about what happened years ago, is, you know, it sort of shakes up my memory again, some of the things that I remember. And like when I lived back on South Orchard Street, I had a snowblower, and, you know, basically, where the devil would you put the snow? You know, we just had a, you know, a little place next door to Bandicky's house. And
I was going to say Bandicky's. I was waiting for you to say Bandicky's. I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to say it, but you did. That
Why,
was good.
Do I get 20 lashes for that or what?
Hey, they might be listening, Joe.
Well, you know, Reno's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, anyhow, you know, it shook up my memory, and a lot of these things I remember, and I'm going back a long, long way. And, well, basically, I mentioned something, well, the other day when I was talking here on the net, and, well, I was thinking on a way to say it, the way to tell everybody. You know, about CENTCOM. CENTCOM
okay.
is in Tampa. It they have taken all of these departments that are in the government, and they put them under basically the one command. Okay. It seems to be like the government right now. Is taking everyone that they're hiring, and they're going to put them locally, and you know they'll walk around with just their hat and you know their clothes on, ordinary clothes, but they don't have a uniform or anything like that, and they're observant. They'll be teaching them what it is and how it is. I do expect this here to be getting a lot worse. I don't believe that horse chief in Washington knows anything, or if he knew anything, he'd say it. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Joe,
not to put your business out there, because I know you confided in me. But
I'm careful.
Yeah, exactly. They're contacting everybody, basically, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but, you know, that's the way some of it goes. But all in all, I did have some stories. And I've told them to some of the guys, and one thing is, you know, when the government hears something, they never forget it. I was back in the States. I left overseas, came back to the States, and I met Gail, and we came down here to Florida. Now, that took 9 years, and actually it was on TV that this one person, I call him a Hong Kong Charlie, okay? I can't remember his name. But, you know, but he came from Hong Kong, and he was with me, watching me. He's not, well, he, you know, the way the story goes is nobody was supposed to know that he was watching me, and I wasn't supposed to know that he was. But all in one, here it is. 9 years later, I'm watching TV, and they showed a picture of Bangkok of them arresting that guy, and I came out of the chair. You know, I said, "That's a Hong Kong Charlie. You know, that's him."
Somebody you knew a long time ago.
9 years later, they arrested him. So,
wow.
You know, because I turned his name into the CIA, and I had the marker number of his buddy's car. That's how they could locate him. So evidently, they put everything together and they did put him into jail. But anyhow, it's good talking to everybody there and listening to everybody and reminiscing a little bit. And, well, here I am, out beautiful downtown Florida, where the birds fly backwards to keep the sun out of their eyes. But all in all.
That was a good one. I never heard that one. I'm going to have to remember that one.
You know, that's pretty good, but I'm all alone down here. And I've got a few friends. I don't run around an awful lot. But my military dog died. I didn't know he was a military dog. You know, I could tell you about him. I was the fourth or fifth owner. They gave him to me. Oh, he was a beautiful big dog. And then I was watching TV one day, and I was watching Fox and Friends. And they had this guy in there, military, and he was a dog trainer. He had a dog on the show, and he went ahead and he took the dog and brought him over and said, "Front, F-R-O-N-T. And the dog got up and got in front of him and looked away. You know, he was looking. And I looked and I said, "My God, that's like one guy up the street here from me. We're friends. But all he drinks his breakfast, he drinks his lunch, and he drinks his dinner. So, you know, that makes him untrustworthy. So he was, "Hey, Joe, let's put our dogs together and let's see what happens." I says, "What's Pat? What's the matter with you? I don't do that to dogs. I don't have my dog." I said, "My dog would eat yours." So all in all, he started walking across the field, the grass in his front yard, because I used to walk mine. I walked mine 9 years until he died. And then my dog got up, got in front of me. I didn't say a word, and just looked at him. The guy didn't say a word. But he was the peacemaker. The dog was the peacemaker in the area. One dog was running around. He'd run up to the dog, and I don't know how he talked to him, but he wouldn't let the dog run around. He'd run himself chasing squirrels. He loved to chase a squirrel. But all in all, he was a beautiful dog. One dog was attacking an old guy, and the old guy was kicking at him. And when winter starts down here in Florida, I take a gun and put it in my pocket just in case, because rabies is prevalent down here when winter starts. So all in all, the dog started barking at me. He left the guy when he saw the dog and me. Well, my dog waited a minute, and I says, "Oh, God, I don't want to shoot that dog. I don't even want to shoot the gun down here." Well, he said, maybe if I just shoot it up in the air. It's big enough to fit into the palm of my hand. That's all. And it's a 5-shot 22. So I took it out of my pocket, and my dog just lunged at that little dog. It was a female. And he hit it with his chest. And he sent the little dog flying. The little dog wouldn't come near me. You know, stayed far away.
Wow.
And then I heard something in back of me. And, you know, a motor going. I turned around, and he said, it was a cop. And I thought, oh, my lucky. He said, are you okay? He saw what happened. I said, "Oh, yeah, did you see what my dog done?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "That was pretty good." And, you know, that was it. Luckily, he didn't see it. But all in all, as for me going somewhere, for anybody that knows now, I got to get my knees fixed before I go anyplace. And then I could go back to them. I went through my records, and I found out I had a couple of calls from Washington, D.C., and I had two calls from Florida, not Florida, but it was Texas. So you never can tell. That's what, basically, that's what I put together, that they are going to be putting up as many people as they possibly can get a hold of, and they'll be walking around in stores, and you know, it'll be either stores or, you know, big football games and things like that.
And those of you who can't read between the lines, Joe, I just want to say, not to put too much out there, what they're doing is these are people who are going to be watching things.
That's right.
That's what
they're
you're
gonna,
saying.
They are going to be they are going to be watching. For what happens, you know, because, you know, if they turned around and they allowed people to carry guns, do you know that most of these people that wanted to blow people up, they'd be blowing up themselves, you know, like over in France, here they killed 129 people, the guys would be, you know, shoot back at them, and, you know, that would be the end of it. That's all. Well, it's nice hearing everybody's voice. You know, it's been a long time.
Before you go, I got three things I want to say.
Okay.
For Joe in Florida, South Orchard Street. South Orchard Street, the third floor, used to have a pistol hanging on the back side of the door. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was a .38.
Exactly. Do you know I had that over on Clara's house?
You did?
Yes, I did. This is before Michael was born, too, yes. And there's two other things I want to say. One of them is, one day you came home, this is when we were on the first or second floor, and Canalco, or Consolidated, you used to wear a jumpsuit. It was wet on the bathroom floor, and supposedly the story I got then, of course, this is a long time ago, this is the late 50s, a car had gone in the water and you went in. That's the story that was told to me then. It'll give you something to think about. Maybe
who went into the water?
A car, supposedly, went into the water, supposedly in Beaver's Pond. That's the story I got from Mother, I believe. Of course, this is a long time ago, and it'll give you something to think about. And maybe that was the truth, maybe it wasn't. And the other thing that'll jog your memory and maybe make you laugh, or maybe it won't, how many times do you remember coming home from work and all your tools were gone?
Gone?
Yeah.
I
either out using them or I sold them to the Horny Axe or something like that.
Well, not all the time, Joe, but I do remember that, you know, my tools were always in a different spot.
Yeah, because I was using them all the time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I was probably the only 6-year-old that could go put an electrical service in, though.
I would doubt it. That's life.
But Joe, he was thick-headed. What'd you tell him? You can't do it this way. Why not? Right? That's what you told me, right?
Well, that's when, one day where Joey was in the backyard fixing his bicycle. And he was working on the combs of the bicycle. And I said, Joe, you can't do it that way. He said, I can't? I can't do it that way? No. I said, no, you can't. He says, I'll find another way. I said, there you go.
You told me that story 10 years ago and you say it the same way, so I know you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, there you go. Then he said that, well, that this was the same time, okay, and he says, when are you gonna die so we can get your money?
Oh no.
Come out with that one. And I'll say, I looked and I said, probably never, Joe. That's life. Those things, you know, you remember them forever.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go.
That's true. Hey, we all had troubled childhoods, but we have good memories too, Joe. That's the thing that we have to remember, you know?
Well, I was fooling around with the very same gun that Joey was talking about. It was a 6-shot Smith & Wesson.
Right.
And basically, I took some heads off of the book, not the heads, but the shell casings. The lead bullet off of the front, you know, to make them fit. And basically, it wasn't the right size, but they did fit. So, I forgot myself, and I pulled the trigger a couple of times, and the gun went off, and it went underneath the bathroom and disappeared in the wall. But the thing
through
that
the closet.
Got me, yeah, the
right.
thing that got me shook up the most is the fact that, you know, I'd done it again with it up to my head, and I just put it down and pulled the trigger, and bang, it went off again. So I a lot of times I says, maybe I'm dead right now and don't know it. You know, I don't know. Sometimes I think I'm in hell, and other times I think I'm in heaven. So I don't really know where the devil I am.
Joe, so, I got to tell you something. Since we're talking about guns, I just got to make a confession. In Nana's basement, you had cases and cases of 22 Wildcat rounds. And let me tell you, me and Sean went down there. We packed them up, and we brought them to Barbara's house in New Hampshire. We had fun with them.
Oh. Okay. Well,
we learned how to shoot.
Well, there was an awful lot of 30-yard six down there. In fact, that's what Joey and Michael and I used to do all the time. We used to go down in the wintertime and, you know, polish the brass and get it ready at full length, resize it, and get it ready. Get it ready for the revolution. Now it's so close it isn't funny anymore.
I know.
When I went over to Aunt Clara's on the second floor and she was making a sponge cake and I had it in a brown paper bag and I pulled it out and showed her, she turned white.
Yeah, well, she's always been scared of weapons like that, and she was always scared of dying. You know,
yeah.
when it was her time to die. Oh my God, it was terrible.
Wow.
Me?
Wow.
When it comes to me, say, hey, I'm ready. You know,
yeah,
let's go.
I think Aunt Anna clubbed her in the head.
Yeah.
So what was the name? Vicky? So Vicky can get the house?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Can you tell me what year Joseph died?
Who, Grampy?
Yeah.
Good.
59? 58?
No, I can't.
He died. I
found a picture of me with my uniform on, okay? So that
I saw that picture, Joe. I saw that picture. That was in Nana's basement on top of the boiler. I'm telling you, I saw that picture. It was you with your uniform on in the Air Force, correct?
Yeah, my grandmother, my mother, and then Grammy and Grampy.
That's correct.
In fact, I've got it right on in my ham shack.
Wow.
I've been thinking about sending it to Michael.
Good.
I think
that was in Nana's basement.
They were out in the backyard at 213 South Orchard Street.
Grammy
didn't
more.
Leave the house too much.
Oh, that's true.
Remember he used to smoke his cigar in his pipe?
That's right.
I remember his pipe. I don't remember him. I might have known him with the... I think I remember him when he smoked a cigar. Yes, I do.
Yeah, and he was probably in the 60s when he passed away. Yeah, 62, 63, maybe.
Probably so.
All right, well, hey, listen, that's great for Thanksgiving. That's good. Everybody got together tonight, all the family, Debbie and Reevesville. We had Betty in Yalesville. We had Joe down in Sebastian, Florida. We need to all go down to Sebastian, though, because that's where we can be warm, because none of us like the cold. Joe don't like it. Mike don't like it. I don't like it. So we need to be down there in Sebastian, Florida, where it's very warm.
Yeah, hey, well, Joe. Michael would be down here with me if his wife wanted to.
I know. Melody, Joe, she's a worker, and she just wants to stick it out no matter what.
Right,
you know?
She's a hustler.
Yep.
And, you know, she could come down here and trim the trees if she wanted to.
The pump, yeah.
Yeah, I see.
Melody would be on the pump.
I've seen pictures on Google. They need to be trimmed.
Yeah. There you go.
Hey, before the show ends, I'd like to say happy birthday to Bridget. Just, I don't know if she's on or not, but
no,
probably
she's not.
Yeah. Bridget's birthday was just a day or so ago.
Yeah. But thanks, Mike. I appreciate that. Hey, listen, Mike, Joe, and Debbie, Betty, Savannah, and Alex, and Brad, and, you know, all the family and friends that got together tonight. That's great. Joe, it was a great show tonight. When Joe in Florida calls in, everybody listens. So, Joe, you need to understand, when you call in, most of the family listens. So you need to remember that, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember.
All right. Hey, have a nice and safe Thanksgiving.
Betty, I'm working on your video.
All right, she's listening. She's still on. But I got her muted, so I'm sorry. But anyway, hey, listen, good night, everybody. Good night. I appreciate it.
Right,
we do have to wrap it up.
Hey, happy
Thanksgiving.
And if anybody wants to protest what we do or violate what we want, we just turn off their chip.
That's right, microchips. In 2005, Congress, under the pretense of immigration control and the so-called war on terrorism, passed the REAL ID Act, under which it is projected by May 2008, you will be required to carry around a federal identification card, which includes on it a scannable barcode with your personal information. However, this barcode is only an intermediary step before the card is equipped with a VeriChip RFID tracking module, which will use radio frequencies to track your every move on the planet. If this sounds foreign to you, please note that the RFID tracking chip is already in all new American passports. And the final step is the implanted chip, which many people have already been manipulated into accepting under different pretenses.
We have a Florida family who are really pioneers in a brave new world. They have volunteered to be the first ever to have microchip identification devices implanted into their bodies.
After 9/11, I was really concerned with the security of my family.
I wouldn't mind having something planted permanently in my arm that would identify me.
In the end, everybody will be locked into a monitored control grid where every single action you perform is documented. And if you get out of line, they can just turn off your chip, for at that point in time, every single aspect of society will revolve around interactions with the chips. This is the picture that is painted for the future if you open your eyes to see it. A centralized one-world economy where everyone's moves and everyone's transactions are tracked and monitored, all rights removed. The most incredible aspect of all, these totalitarian elements will not be